You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Commas Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we're talking to Erin Azar, aka Mrs. Space Cadet on TikTok. She's honestly one of my favorite TikTok follows. She's a runner that has amassed over 600,000 followers on TikTok, just basically vlogging her running. And she is training for the New York City Marathon, which is coming in hot, which she is running for charity. And in today's episode, we talk all about her running journey and how she got into the sport. I guess the different experiences we've both had in the sport and TikTok fame, how she's enjoying it, and much more. So stay tuned. Today's episode is brought to you by Green Chef. Green Chef is the first USDA certified organic meal kit company that makes eating well easy and affordable, with plans to fit every kind of lifestyle. So whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, or you're just looking to eat healthier like me, there's a range of recipes to fit any kind of diet or preference. The thing I love about Green Chef most, let me tell you right now, is that the recipes are absolute flames. These recipes are so good because they're crafted by Green Chef's expert chefs. There's over 30 meal choices every week, and the flexibility to switch plans, you'll never have to sacrifice taste for nutrition, and you can enjoy literally restaurant quality dishes in the comfort of your own home. I feel like my own chef, you know, when I'm cooking these Green Chef meals. They're seriously that flavorful and delicious. You can avoid the long lines at the grocery store and get fresh, premium ingredients delivered right to your door. And since Green Chef's ingredients are pre-portioned, you'll actually be reducing your food waste by 25% at least. They're also the most sustainable meal kit because they offset 100% of their plastic use and 100% of their carbon footprint and emissions. So you get to enjoy your greens while being green. My next Green Chef box is being delivered today, and let me tell you how excited I am. I literally am salivating right now just thinking about the meal I'm going to make tonight, because it's literally going to be delicious and I can't wait. And it is 8:10 in the morning. If you guys are interested, head to greenchef.com/coldbrew125. And use code COLDBREW125 to get $125 off, including free shipping. That is greenchef.com/COLDBREW125. And use code COLDBREW125 to get $125 off, including free shipping. Now let's get straight into today's episode. Erin, oh my goodness. Okay, I'm like fangirling right now because...
Well, same.
Well, it's... People say this to me when they meet me, I guess, in person. They're like, it's so like different just to like see someone that you've only watched online to like talk to them face to face. So it's very good to like chat with you face to face, even though we're not in person, but I'm excited to have you on, and I'm sure we have a lot to talk about. You're very funny on TikTok, but...
Thank you.
To get started, do you want to just like give us a little intro of who you are and what you're about?
Yeah. My name's Erin. I live in Pennsylvania. I have three little kids, a husband who is not on social media, and social media is now my job, which is kind of strange. But I started running a couple years ago, and I was posting videos to YouTube, and I noticed that I couldn't find any content surrounding people that were running that looked like me or ran really slow like me. Everything was, you know, kind of like coaches and or professional runners, which is really helpful, like if you're trying to learn about form and stuff like that. But I was kind of in the market for just seeing someone relatable, and that would make me feel less alone, I guess, while I was trying to learn how to run. And but once I posted on TikTok, because I learned that you could reach people that don't even follow you on TikTok. So I thought, oh, I'm going to find a friend. And that video blew up to like over a million views. So it did make me realize, though, that like even professional runners still have bad runs. And anyone can really relate to what I just termed struggle running. It's just the big umbrella of struggle.
Struggle running. Well, you make struggle running look fun then, because I feel like you literally take us on, I feel like every single run that you go on.
And
it's an adventure in itself, just whatever you discover. Like I was scrolling through this morning, like I've broken my ankle on two walnuts.
Yeah.
It's just so detailed, and it's just so funny too. And I think that's why people follow you, because it's like so enjoyable to watch you run.
Yeah.
Did you ever think that like this many people would enjoy watching your content and seeing your running journey?
Not at all. I was actually scared to post on TikTok, because after I uploaded that video, I realized that there's like, I was old for TikTok. I just turned 38. So at the time I was 36, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to rip me to shreds. These kids are ruthless. But I think at that point enough, you know, older people. And when I say older, I mean like 25, because everyone,
yeah, I'm 25 and I feel old for the platform.
Yeah. But now you see like there's grandparents on there. So we're young.
Yeah, exactly. So when you were doing YouTube, how long were you doing that for? And did you already have a following before you went to TikTok?
I had a really small following on YouTube. I don't even, maybe 1,000 followers. But it was just like this core group of people that really just followed me for whatever I was doing. So at first I just, if I was pregnant, like I would upload videos about that, you know. It was always something humorous though, like, because I would have a lot of really bad days and I'm like, well, you could either cry or you could laugh. So I just, it was like a good creative outlet, because I still had a full-time job at the time. And so it was just a good creative outlet to kind of film my day as crappy as it was, and then just edit it and like make commentary to lighten the mood, you know?
Yeah.
But once I started running, those same people were like, ah, we're here for it. Like, we don't run, but that's cool. But that's what made me realize, like, I need to find people that run. I don't know what I'm doing. Is this normal that, you know, my hip hurts here, or that my shoes have holes in them? Like, I had no clue that running with shoes that had holes in them and like barely any tread was bad for your feet. I don't know why. It didn't occur to me.
Yeah.
So there is value in having an audience that does run or does do what you're filming, because you can get that feedback and learn from them also. It's not always, you know, you teaching other people about something.
Yeah, that is so true. I didn't even think about that. And if you don't know any of my background, I started on YouTube. So I made a YouTube channel back in 2017, but that was like at the peak of my running career. I was running at Oregon, and it was like day in the life of like the highest level of running that you can get. So I wasn't necessarily posting about stuff that's like, I don't
like
know.
Like, you didn't need YouTube to learn. Beginner. You already, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Like, yeah. And even for me, I feel like I've been running for so many years that it's kind of hard to even put myself in that position again, to be like, because when I started running, I was so young that I don't remember it.
Yeah.
So there definitely is a market for that though, because so many people start running when they're like, I don't know, older, because it's just a lot easier. Like, it's a very accessible sport to do after.
Yeah. You don't need a gym or anything like that.
Yeah. Like you said, a lot of people don't know where to start. And my channel is definitely not going to help someone with that.
So, yeah, but your channel is good for people that are already established and, you know, following you for that. Like, you're legit. I mean, you are verified, like you did this competitively, and that is, you know, that's your life. You don't, like you said, you don't remember starting to run, but so many people are, they're starting in their 30s and 40s now. I think especially now that I'm pushing the narrative, like, you don't need to run a 7-minute mile to run. It's like good for your, you know, there's mental health benefits to it even. So I feel like people are more willing to try it after watching me, or even like go for a walk.
Yeah. It's just it's a much less intimidating approach than someone who comes onto my channel and like, I could see someone being deterred from running if they want to after watching my videos.
Well, I feel like when you're younger, like when you started competitively, if you're running when you're that young, it's like, you feel like you have to be fast. You have to have a purpose for it, which is racing.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what I would be doing if I wasn't like good, I guess.
Yeah.
If I wasn't good when I was younger, I don't think I would have kept doing it.
Right. Cause that's how it is. And like, I remember even playing sports in high school, it was like, I would try something and I'm like, I'm not really good at it. Or I'm terrified to pitch a softball because it could fly right back in my face before I can catch it.
Yeah.
You know, so I would like quit sports all the time because if I wasn't good at it or I didn't like it, I'm like, nah, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, that's, I guess the kid mentality, but then now it's so different. And I'm learning to shift my mentality from being really good at running to just enjoying it on a daily level and like enjoying the mental health benefits, which was something I never even thought about.
I love watching your videos now though, because of that, because you had that professional experience for so many years and now it's like you're rediscovering it. So it's really cool to watch.
Yeah. It's been a fun process. It's been very hard, I will say. Like, it's definitely not an easy path, and anyone that watched my stuff can probably see that for me, but I know, like, in the long run, pun intended, like, I know it'll be very good for me, I guess, to like have that, I don't know, reframed mindset. But I mean, I just enjoy watching people. I love like running TikTok because it's just so funny. I feel like it's just so, it really expands my horizons because like that elite running world is so small. And I just love meeting people that like to run. That's not, you need to run a 4-minute mile to be like considered a runner. So I just appreciate people like you, you know, and I'm glad that you have the audience that you do, because it's one, very enjoyable to watch. And I want to get into like you actually filming the TikTok, because from someone that has also been like, I'm like on a run with my little like G7X here, like filming myself on a run out in public.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that do you use that for TikTok videos?
No, that's not for TikTok.
YouTube.
Yeah. For YouTube. Like, I would do that when I was marathon training stuff. Usually I wouldn't bring my full camera. I would just have my iPhone, but for you, like, how do you enjoy actually like filming the TikToks while you're running?
For context, I actually went for a 10-mile run yesterday and I did not film it. I was on a call. I hated it. I was like, this is horrible. Cause I'm on the call with someone and I'm running by like the cows and the guinea hens and I'm running up Puke Hill, and my entertainment is filming that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was like, not punishment, but it was not as enjoyable for me as it is when I can just like freely whip out my phone. And I'll film a clip. You know, I'll start the intro, I'll do the running outfit of the day pose, and I save it as a draft. And as I'm running, I just open that draft and keep filming. And you know, at the end, I'll do a little dance or something, and I edit it right in TikTok. So all I do is just shorten the clips a little bit. And I don't know, it's a source of entertainment for me. Could I run a little faster if I wasn't filming all the time? Probably, but I feel like it's more important for me to enjoy it, to enjoy the run.
Yeah, it definitely is. Just when you're going on super long runs,
I feel by like myself.
I feel like you need that source of entertainment.
Yeah.
When did you start running? I guess you said a couple of years ago, but how did you all of a sudden like realize that you wanted to pursue it more than just like an occasional exercise.
Yeah, well, I wasn't even doing it as an occasional exercise. So I had tried running in the past before that, and I would download those PDF things that would be kind of like a schedule, like, oh, okay, on Monday, do this, yeah. on this day, walk or something. And I always quit because I would get shin splints, or I felt like I couldn't get even to a mile. And I'm like, I have no clue what I'm doing. I can't afford to like pay someone to help me. And it just wasn't important to me. I feel like if it was really important, I would have found the means to pay for something or, mm-hmm. To buy new shoes. But a couple years ago, after I had my third baby, it's like that this postpartum period, you hear about it, with people who have like postpartum depression or postpartum anxiety. And there's also this group of us that like don't have those things, but still really struggle because you're so tired, you're so sleep deprived. And you have this new human that you're taking care of in addition to the other kids. So you care about their feeling. It's just like a really stressful time to me anyway. I know some moms are like, oh, it's so blissful and, you know, perfect, but it's like,
okay, that's like the social media facade.
Exactly. Like I'm just being real that, a lot of people, you know, it's hard. So, I just felt this feeling. I vividly remember sitting in our living room in this like old rocking chair. And I'm like, I am gonna go crazy if I don't like get out this pent up, whatever it was. Like, I don't know. I just felt uncomfortable. So I just like put on my sneakers, and I have a YouTube video that shows the holes in the sides of my sneakers.
Oh, no.
Like it's so bad. And I didn't have running clothes. I just put on like a baggy shirt and shorts, and I just started running. And I did bring the camera because at that time I was just filming whatever. And I think like within a half a mile, I was like, this feels good. Even though it was physically hard, mentally, I'm like, oh my gosh, my head is like feeling more clear. When I got home, I felt more patient and like I could actually think of what I had to do. So that kind of like clicked in me. I feel like I found running, for like the first time, like genuinely found it. Mm-hmm. And, so like shortly after that, on my YouTube, I was like, I'm going to sign up for a marathon, even though I couldn't even run a mile. Like I have no idea what
we'll
I was
see,
doing.
Okay, that's what I also wanted to get into. It's like you went from 0 to 100.
Right. I don't know why. Like, why didn't I say I'm going to sign up for a 5K?
Are you an all or nothing person? Or are you just were like, yes, marathon?
I think for me, knowing that I always quit everything, I was like probably thinking if I sign up for something so intense, I feel like if you signed up for a 5K, you could struggle through that even if you didn't train for it.
Yeah, you can fake a 5K. You cannot fake a marathon, especially if you're coming from zero base whatsoever.
Yeah. Like I had no idea how to run. I had no idea what I needed to run. And so I was really just starting from zero. But I think that I assumed if I signed up for a marathon, it would force me to be consistent and like really stick with running. Mm-hmm. And it did, it worked, but definitely when my long runs hit like 4 miles, my husband sent me one of my old YouTube videos, and I was talking about that, saying how my long run was going to be 4.5 miles. And what did I get myself into? I'm like terrified to run that distance. And it like really brought me back to, wow, I would have quit. I would have quit right there. But I knew, okay, you signed up for this. You announced it on your YouTube, like just go, like keep going, you know?
Yeah. And then, so you ended up running the marathon from?
Yeah.
What mileage did you get up to then? Like what was your highest long run or longest?
The longest run was 20 miles. And I signed up for the Philadelphia Marathon. This was pre-pandemic. And then the pandemic hit, it was obviously canceled. And then I got so far. I'm like, I cannot not do it. Mm-hmm. So I created a virtual race for charity, and we just called it Space Race 2020. And we raised like $14,000 for a local women's shelter, which was like huge to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because I didn't even have, I had a lot of followers at that time, but not what I have now. And we still managed to raise that. So it was really cool to see like all the people. And I didn't say you have to run a marathon. I was like, you could run a mile. It was just like, we're raising money here. But so I ran that with my coach and my husband, and it was, we couldn't even have anyone there because of COVID. And we were just like, we figured better safe than sorry. I didn't want anyone to like spectators to get sick. And then I couldn't live with that. So, it was an interesting experience. Like even the hydration and the fuel we had to stash in like trash bags in the woods. And, you know, so it was like no one handing you anything. We had to like go,
to, like, go find it. Go
like dig out these trash bags and like, you know, even opening the packages and opening the drinks. It's like, it all adds to the time that you're out there. And yeah, I finished, I think I went live a bunch of times on TikTok and filmed the whole thing, but it was so painful. Like, I remember, I think I would have quit, but my coach, who is like, she's insane. She, you know, I'm sure a lot of people follow her also on TikTok, Coach Alicia at What Runs You, but she ran, I think she like PR'd in a marathon when she was pregnant. So yeah, she's like, casual. She's a beast. Yeah. But just her telling me like my legs hurt too, cause she's fast. So she's not even used to being out that long on a, for a marathon. Mm-hmm. So like she was in pain too. And she's like, it's normal. Like it's, if you're still moving, you're okay. Your form is good. So just having her tell me those things, I'm like, okay, I'm going to survive. Even though I feel like it's never going to end, but it did, thankfully. Yeah.
Quick little intermission to talk about today's podcast sponsor, Inside Tracker. When you do what you love, like running, like racing, like enjoying the great outdoors, you want to do it for life. Inside Tracker can help. Inside Tracker was founded in 2009 by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometrics. Using their patented algorithm, Inside Tracker analyzes your body's data to provide you with a clear picture of what's going on inside you and to offer you science-backed recommendations for positive diet and lifestyle changes. Then, Inside Tracker tracks your progress every day, every step of the way towards reaching your performance goals and living a longer, healthier life. And for a limited time, you can get 25% off the entire Inside Tracker store. Just go to insidetracker.com/Emma. Or just click the link in my description box and check out Inside Tracker. I seriously recommend. Inside Tracker has been the number one most helpful tool I've used to basically narrow down my diet and also make the lifestyle changes I need to feel my best. Inside Tracker seriously has helped me a lot just feel better on a day-to-day basis, whether that be in running or just in life. Highly recommend you go check it out. Again, the link is in the description box of this podcast, or just go to insidetracker.com/Emma and you can get 25% off the entire Inside Tracker store. Now let's get back into today's episode.
Man, I ran the Chicago Marathon back in 2019 and marathons are no joke. They hurt a lot.
Yeah. No matter how much training.
It doesn't matter if you're, it just like hurts for a different reason. I was talking to this like professional runner guy who literally runs like 210 in the marathon.
But, oh my God.
Like people were asking for advice, but it's just such different pain. Cause obviously like that guy is feeling pain, but he's not on his feet for 4+ hours. So I feel like everyone just feels pain in a different way in the marathon. It doesn't really matter how like fast you are or anything. It's just a very, it's an excruciating distance.
Yeah. I remember saying like, oh my God, it hurts so bad. And so she was like, okay, what hurts? Thinking I was like injured or something. And I'm like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't even know what part specifically. It was just, I felt so much pain.
I feel like you just turned into a rock at some point and you're just like still moving and, but their whole body is like creaking and you're like,
yeah.
So, 6 miles left.
It's so wild. Yeah. Oh my God. And that, yeah, I have less than like 18 days till the New York City one and I'm freaking out.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about that now too. So you're running New York, which is coming in absolutely so hot. I know a lot of people that are running it. And that course is no joke either, I've heard.
Right, because there's hill, like all there's the hills leading up to the bridges and everything. Like yeah. They seem so long.
Yeah. I'm not gonna say that New York City bridges are not like, or New York, like yeah, whatever bridges that you're going over, they are long. I will yeah. say, but I mean, I feel like the New York experience from everyone. I mean, I don't know, I never ran it, but from everyone that has run it. In that I know in like my personal life, they say it's an amazing experience. I mean, it is one of the majors, so I can just assume that it's an amazing experience. But
yeah,
you're raising money for charity. What are you at now? Because I know your goal is 100K. What's
yeah? We're over 40,000. I didn't check it today, but people have been amazing. Doing like even a dollar, like it's crazy that a dollar can make such a huge difference, because if that many people are doing it, it's helping us get there. And, you know, I partner with Aftershocks. Oh, here it is. So we're over 41,000 now.
Woo! That's so much. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's so crazy. And we have till the end of November. So even if I don't hit it by race day, I'm hoping to like, you know, promote it in some press and do stuff like this at that, and just be like, yeah, anyone has a dollar. We even have a direct link to my fundraising page. It's wegiveafox.com, which I love. It just goes right there. So it makes it easy. But yeah, so it's to raise money for Parkinson's research for the Michael J. Fox Foundation. My dad has Parkinson's. Our neighbor has Parkinson's, like a lot of people, unfortunately, that I know have it around my dad's age too, where I'm like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. I know there's a genetic component, but there is also environmental. So it's super important to me to raise the money and like, you know, get new treatments or even a cure. I think actually we raised as a team $1 million. Which wow. is insane. I mean, imagine the impact that can have, because the Michael J. Fox Foundation, you know how like a lot of charities, the money goes to like admin fees and all that stuff. This goes directly to research and yeah. the science behind it. So that's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, this episode yeah. is going live literally today. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I'll definitely be leaving a link in the description for
Thank
anyone
you.
That wants to donate. Like you said, even a dollar makes, yes. makes a big difference.
A huge difference.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah. What's the goal for like race day for New York? Do you have any, or is it just to enjoy the marathon major experience?
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, just finishing, running is, like, as long as I'm not walking is a huge deal to me. I would hope I could finish under 6 hours. I'm assuming I could at least run 13 minutes per mile.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to jinx myself though, but I feel like that's doable. Especially like with the crowds, and I know there'll be plenty of like electrolytes and fuel. The 18 mile one that I did, that was my first in-person race. And I was like, oh, they're just going to hand me all the stuff that I need. But it was such a small race that I don't even think they had electrolytes till mile 12.
Oh,
before that,
goodness.
It was just like little cups of water, which for some reason to me don't help me at all. So even though I was, cause I just sweat so much
yeah.
like, and it was humid that day. So I was, even though I was drinking those cups of water whenever they had them, I was dehydrated and I could feel it. And then by the mile 12, when I could drink Gatorade, it was like too late at that yeah. point.
Well, I think you're going to have the opposite experience at New York. When I was yeah. at Chicago, which is another one of the majors,
yeah.
there's electrolyte stations literally every like 2 miles. You're like, okay, do
oh,
I need
so
more
nice.
Goo? And like my stomach was just like filled with goo and stuff, and I'm like, hey, too much
yeah
too much.
Yeah
yeah, but the energy is literally unreal, especially if that like yeah. that was your first in-person race. This one's mm-hmm. gonna be in another level of energy. That's what I mean. I've literally only run one marathon. I'm talking like I'm an expert here,
but you've run a lot of races.
I've run a ton of races
yeah.
and like the marathon vibe is mm-hmm. something that I absolutely love, even though I only ran one. And I literally swore that I, or not, I didn't swear, but I was pretty sure I was not going to be running like more than one marathon in my life, especially yeah. not so young. But after running Chicago, I was like, I could see why people get hooked on these, because yes, the training is brutal. Honestly, like no one really wants to go out for those 20 mile long runs by yourself. But
yeah,
when you're actually there on race day with the energy of the crowd and people like running around you, everyone's like making jokes. And yeah. it's just like, because everyone's just like, everyone is crazy and everyone's going through it together. So I just feel like you're just going to have such a good experience. It's very, very fun. And I know yeah. that you'll probably sign up for another one immediately after. Do you have anything else planned, or are you just only doing New York now?
I'm doing New York, but after, like, once I have time to, you know, think about it, I do want to plan something, definitely a marathon, next year, but like something crazy and like maybe in, I don't know, like a really cool location, mm-hmm. Maybe something like that I have to take my training to the next level and not just like slug along for like 13 and a half minute miles. But cause I want to make it, I feel like filming it and documenting it is such a huge part of it for me that I want to make it like really exciting. So when I'm editing the videos and people are watching the videos, I want it to be fun. And like, mm-hmm. we can all follow along together. So I don't know. I just know I want it to be big, exciting. And yeah. Hopefully I have something to announce like after the New York City one.
Yeah.
Because you know that post-race blues?
Yeah. I know. Oh, well, yeah. You finish one thing, you're like, all right, need something else immediately. Well, you have to wait.
Yeah, it's going to hit me hard.
Off, but
yeah.
After that, you're like, what am I even doing? You know?
Yeah. And then it's like that depression. And plus I have seasonal depression, which is already like hitting hard. Mm-hmm. So it's like going to compound on that. So I know if I like have something to work toward and like a new project to do, I feel like it'll help.
Yeah. I feel like you could put on your own race. That's like a bold statement of me, because I know that it's a lot of work.
I know. It would be fun though. I would love to do that, even like a 5K, but just make it like super fun and interactive and stuff.
Yeah.
Are you gonna do another marathon?
I don't know yet. I'm like still, I definitely am going to. I signed up for a race. It's not a marathon. I haven't disclosed what it is, but it is not another marathon yet. Uh-huh. I just need to be like ready, I guess, to train like that again.
Yeah.
I just feel like I didn't really do a very great job of training, honestly. And I told myself when I finished Chicago that the next marathon I do, I'm going to like fully train and like commit to it. So we'll see. I definitely want to like run more of the major ones, especially too, because I like had such a good time doing it. So we'll see, but
yeah,
I definitely like caught the marathon bug a little bit. Like I said, I definitely see why people do it. It's just much more friendly environment than the mm-hmm. elite running world, and much less intimidating, I think. So
yeah, we'll people see. Are there to finish and like be proud of finishing, and not everyone's not there to win.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm excited to see what you do down the future. Yeah. I'm sure your 600,000 followers, or however many you're up to now, are also excited to follow your journey.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit more about like being TikTok famous and how that is for you, and what does that feel like? You wake up every day and you're like, I am TikTok famous.
I don't even think that I'm TikTok famous, because there's people with like 100 million followers on there.
Okay. Yeah. There's some one-offs, but in the grand scheme of things, not that many people have 600,000.
Yeah. Followers. Yeah. That's true. And I feel like I still don't really understand it. And, I have bad imposter syndrome. So everything that I'm on, like because of TikTok, or, like Ryan Seacrest, that blew my mind. You know what I mean?
I saw that. Okay. I was like, whoa.
Like New York Times, the Today Show, but Ryan Seacrest?
American Idol.
Right. Like, what the heck? So, but even that is like, I don't understand it. I don't understand. So then my brain tricks me into being like, okay, well, if I was on it, it must not be that big of a deal. Like they must just have anyone on there. which is not a good way to think.
Yeah, that's like the definition of imposter syndrome. I get it.
I should be like, I should be excited and like proud of myself, but it's just like a really surreal thing.
Yeah. And I feel like, especially when I mean, for you, it happened relatively fast, I would say, compared to like, I don't know, people that are, I don't know, old traditional media that are have to like keep booking projects for their whole life. But like now with social media, I feel like fame just happens so fast that it goes from 0 to 100. And then all of a sudden you're talking to Ryan Seacrest and you're like, yesterday I was literally working my 9 to 5 doing and whatever.
You know where that all started? Like the press?
What?
I'm pretty sure I know how. So the New York Times article came about because Talia Mintzberg, I think is how you pronounce her last name. Her friends were sending her my videos, like just no context, not saying like, hey, do an article on her.
Yeah.
But she kept getting them and she was, you know, eventually started to like follow the page and decided it could be like good for an article. But once that came out, that's when the Today Show happened. And then that's when like all these other media interviews came about. So it was literally, it all happened because her friends were sending her my TikToks.
Yeah. That's so funny. That's like, and it really is word of mouth, I feel like now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like even, I mean, I followed you before Dana and I talked last week, Dana Giordano.
She
was on my podcast last week, but we talked about you in the podcast. And I was like, I definitely have to have her on mine. But like I said, it's like word of mouth pretty much.
Yeah.
I guess of media stuff. So
yeah,
I can see. And then I've just like been following you on Instagram and TikTok and stuff. And you've had so much press. I'm like, I appreciate you taking the time to come on this podcast because I feel like,
oh, I love this. Cause this is like just hanging out with a friend, you know, it's not like, I have to, be, I don't know. Like sometimes I feel like with the radio things, it's really timed and rushed and you really have like, my brain does not work fast. So like, hence my Mrs. Space Cadet, name, but I feel like I have to have really concise answers and really think fast, but this is fun because it's just having a conversation. So
Well, I'm enjoying this conversation too. How does it feel like, I guess, do you ever get recognized at all out in public?
Yeah, I actually, so where I live, there's not many people out here. And I feel like the people that see me running and stuff already know who I am. Like it would be weird if they were like, oh my gosh, I watch your TikTok. Like they're not even on TikTok, you know? Mm-hmm. But when I go to the shore, like Long Beach Island, there's obviously more people there, but it's so cool because there's also younger crowd. And those are the people that will come up and say, oh, I watch your TikToks. And that like makes my day because I feel like if someone watches my videos and I feel like they're really real, you know, like
it's so interesting, the in-person interaction, because like you said, you don't really see that many people on a daily basis. And it's so different just posting and like seeing numbers compared to actually meeting people in person. And they're like, I watch your videos. You're like, oh, so these aren't like bots that are
exactly
watching.
Like it's a real person. And then I immediately think that we're friends in real life, because if you can handle my content and you actually like it, then yeah, we would totally be friends. So it's, I don't even get like social anxiety or anything. I just get like super excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, you watch my videos, you know?
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And then I'm excited for the marathon because there's people that are messaging me and they're like, I'll be at mile 21 or I'll be at mile 19. So I'm like in my head anticipating, cause I know I'm going to be struggling, but I'll be like, okay, just make it to that mile. And then there's going to be a group there that'll recognize me. And
I guarantee you're going to have people cheering probably at every single mile for you.
Oh my gosh. That would be so insane.
Yeah. I feel like you will. I mean, you're talking all about the New York City Marathon and a ton of people run it. So I feel like you're going to have either people that are running it cheering you on, or people will be coming from the spectator side being like,
yeah, oh, hey, that would be amazing.
Space Cadet.
Yeah. I should get one of those custom bibs like that you put on above yours or on your back that says Mrs. Space Cadet.
Yes, of my name. Yeah, you should. Do you have your outfit picked out yet?
I don't. Everyone's like, oh, I'm assuming you already have what you're going to wear. I'm like, oh, nope. Should I?
Is that a thing that people do?
Yeah, it's like the same with someone asked me the other day, how long does it take to plan your outfits and what you're going to film? And I'm like, literally whatever is on top of my clothing pile in terms of shirts and shorts, that's what I wear.
And whatever is on the top of my head while I'm talking to the camera is what's going on TikTok.
Exactly. Like if I had to put thought into it, I wouldn't film. I'd just be like, no, it's too much work.
I know. I've really tried to plan out content and be organized with it, but I can't. I really like the just casual, you know, whatever is on the top of the dome is going on the internet.
Yeah. Do you like TikTok more for that specifically?
I think so. I think TikTok is just different than other platforms. Yeah, because you don't really have to plan it, and you can also spam a little bit. Like you can kind of post whatever you want, and people don't really get annoyed. Rather than like Instagram, if you're posting a ton of times in the day, yeah, everyone's like, "Okay, loser, bye," and then they unfollow you. Or YouTube, then it's like just gets washed away in the algorithm. But I do love TikTok because you can post. I post the most random stuff on there. Like, there's not really a rhyme or reason to my content. I wish I was more concise, honestly, where I'm just like, let me talk about this topic, but I talk about literally anything. Or like, I try to follow the trends because I'm like, this is funny, and then I'll just post it. It's like, it's kind of like my, I don't want to say spam platform because it's not really like spam,
right?
But it's where I go when I want to feel like my true self again.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. I love that. When people recognize you, is it from TikTok or like Instagram or your YouTube videos? Do they say specifically?
I think most of the time it's from YouTube, but sometimes people are like, oh, I follow you on Instagram. I'm like, oh, not YouTube? And they're like, you have a YouTube? And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's how because I follow you. Well, I follow you on TikTok and Instagram, but I didn't know you had a YouTube either until like last week.
Yeah, yeah. So, it is interesting. I don't think anyone really just follows me from TikTok. I feel like people that follow me on TikTok are probably from my other platforms, but who knows? It's hard to even tell at this point.
I know. I think mine's the opposite. Just, I assume that it is like that they would go from TikTok to Instagram or to YouTube. I don't even talk about my YouTube because I just started posting again on there after like 8 months of not.
I didn't know you had a YouTube channel either. And then I never talked about your GoPro. And I'm like, is she filming that on for her TikTok?
Right.
And I was like, why does she have a GoPro? And then I was like, is she making a YouTube channel? But that
I'm like hinting at it because God forbid TikTok lets you say like, oh, go to my YouTube channel. They'll be like, nope, don't show this to anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Not very good at like cross promoting on TikTok, I would say.
Right. Yeah. They won't show your videos if you do that, unfortunately.
Yeah. I don't know. They want you to be loyal to the TikTok.
I know.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But it's hard because you're limited.
What would you say is like your ultimate goal with your platforms?
Yeah, I was thinking this the other day. I need to have goals because I feel like I've just been like,
my life.
I've just been rolling with it and like, wow, this is cool. But I feel like I need to, like, I definitely want to get into public speaking in like a fun way. Not like I'm going to inspire you, but just like go interact with an audience and make it fun and something like that. I'd like to start a blog. Like, I'm putting together my website, and because sometimes on TikTok, especially, you have 1 minute, basically. You really have like 30 seconds of someone's attention.
Yeah, the 1 minute, I'm like, no one's watching this till the end. Exactly. And now they have the 3 minutes. I'm like, who is sitting here and watching my 3 minute video on TikTok? No one.
I set it to 3 minutes, but it's like totally cut down to 30 seconds because I'm like, people are not going to watch 3 minutes. But yeah, I feel like you're so limited on most of the platforms aside from YouTube, but it would be cool to like really lay feelings out on it, you know, in words, and like capture that in a blog. So I want to move towards stuff like that, but I don't have like big goals. I feel like, do you have big goals?
No, no, I'm the same way. I feel like I've been rolling with it for so long, but I do need to like, at some point sit down here and be like, okay, what do I want to do out of this? Like at the end of the day, especially when I just got a full-time job on top of, I say this in every episode, people are probably sick of me being like, I got a job.
But well, not everyone can watch every video. So it's good to update.
Yeah.
Stuff like
so
that.
Yeah, to update people, I did get a job. But before that, especially when like being a content creator was like my full dedication, I really wanted, like, the end goal was to help, I guess, bring more eyes onto the running world, because I feel like it just is pretty small. Even I mean, you have proven otherwise now that you have 600,000 followers, but like, since my content is more of like the competitive side of running, like, no one knows professional runners. Like, are you familiar with the professional side of running at all?
Only recently, like, if they follow me, I'll be like, who's this? They have a blue check at their name. Oh, they win races, like legit races. So I just started learning like people's names, and, if I see them enough times, like, I'll remember the name. But yeah, it's not like, you know, basketball or something. Yeah. I don't even watch basketball, but I could name like LeBron James. Probably from the Vine. LeBron James.
Yeah, just for the meme. No, I guess that was like my ultimate goal, was to really like help bring eyes onto the sport. And I feel like I did a good job. But now, especially because I have to balance like the full-time job, I'm like, okay, what do I really want out of my platforms? Like, I feel like I have no rhyme or reason right now. And I'm like, I need to do something.
Yeah, but how do you like... Yeah. So we're in the same boat. How do you strategize that?
I don't know. And I've diversified too much, I think, because I have way too many platforms now. Mm-hmm. I have like YouTube, podcasts, Instagram, TikTok, food Instagram. Yeah. I have a food brand too. So it's just like, it's too much stuff. And
your food brand?
It's called Crazed Foods. I'll send you some bars after this if you'd like. They're like, oh my God. Coffee.
I gotta follow. Is it on Instagram?
Yeah, you don't have to follow. You can try the bars though. I'll send you some.
I'm following now.
Yeah, but I just feel like I've done too much, and now I need to like hone in and kind of figure out like what the end goal is, I guess, or like not the end goal, but like what I really want to do. But I mean, I get what you're saying. It's just hard to like strategize, especially when you're a team of one. You're like.
Yeah, I don't know where to start. Like, where does my brain need to go? If anyone out there is listening and can help Emma and I figure out our life.
We need advice. Okay, well, I was going to, let's transition to listener questions. A weird way to end that segment.
Help. I threw it all off by trying to figure ourselves out.
No, it's okay. People are used to this on my platform. Okay. Oh, so it's fine. Okay. Some listener questions to close out the episode. Do you deal with hate at all on your platforms?
I rarely do. It's so crazy to me how positive my comment sections are. So like, even if it's unrelated to my video, someone will be like, I just ran my first mile because of you. And before I could even get to the comment, there's people like, congratulations, way to go, keep it up. And I like sit there crying. And Dan's like, what's wrong? I'm like, people are just so nice. It's like, I can't even handle it. I'm so lucky that it's like that. But I did notice if I work with a brand and they promote the video, even if it's on my page to like boost the views or on their platforms, that's when the like the 10-year-old boys come out.
10-year-old boys are like, who is this?
They are ruthless. And they're like, I could walk that faster than that lady.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I'm really lucky that I don't have that much. I'm sure if I would get bigger, then that's where that onslaught would come.
Yeah. That's rare though, to have like a strong positive audience.
Yeah.
Are you afraid of people turning on you? Because I feel like that happens often in the TikTok world, where people are like so supportive at first and then all of a sudden like, I don't get the hype.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I think people just quietly unfollow me, to be honest.
I think you're just like so real, and you're like, I think people just get that you like, I don't know, you're just so down to earth that like, what are they gonna say?
Right, you know? Like I don't get the hype either, so if you don't, then that makes two of us. Let's be friends.
Not even that. I just feel like it's not even self-deprecating humor. I just feel like, I don't know what it is. I just feel like there's just no reason that someone could hate on you, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not like doing thirst traps and, you know, buying Lamborghinis.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that the hate is minimal.
Do you have that on yours, like with other runners?
No, I don't like have like beef with anyone. Like no social media hate or anything. I think people get annoyed with me because I have been like inconsistent a lot.
Oh, okay.
Since leaving college, just because I'm like figuring out my life in my younger 20s, and I've moved around a lot and stuff. And I mean, I'm annoyed with myself too that I like can't really stick to one thing. But so I think people get annoyed with that. But other than that, like I think the running world is generally nice.
I feel like that's relatable in itself though, that you're in your 20s and you're trying to figure it out.
I know. I just feel like some middle-aged men really don't like.
They don't like you being in your 20s. And
no, they don't like me being a free spirit that moves a lot. Yeah, I guess.
God forbid. Get yourself together.
Okay. Next question. How did you gain confidence to share how you really feel on the internet?
I think it comes down to like when I was on YouTube and no one was watching, still had the camera in my face. And I feel like it felt natural to me really early on. Because my husband always says I was born without the humility gene or like the embarrassment gene. I just genuinely don't care what people think. I mean, I would care if it's like I really valued someone's opinion about a specific thing.
Yeah.
But in terms of like what people think I look like or how I act, it's like, well, then just don't follow me. I just don't care. And I think if you do care, that's when it's like you're not confident on camera.
Yeah, that's when social media will get very hard if you're caring that much about what people say, especially on TikTok.
Yeah, so. I just wouldn't post.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Okay, someone said your mom was my kindergarten teacher.
I believe it. Yeah, she was a kindergarten teacher for like 30 some years. If you meet her in person, she will talk to you like you're in kindergarten. She'd be like, hi, Emma. Oh, what are you doing there? You got a little podcast. That's so nice.
Oh, that sounds very wholesome.
Oh my gosh, she is. She's a good time.
Okay. Well, the last question to wrap up the episode, do you have any advice to your younger self?
Oh yeah. You know, when you mentioned that, you know, you're in your 20s and you're trying to figure it out, I reflect on that time a lot in my life. I wish I could have said like, don't. So in my 20s, it was all about, you have to use your college degree. You have to get a job in like the STEM field. And that's where you know, it's stable and you'll make money. I wish I never listened to that because I wasted so much of my 20s in that field and like in a cubicle surrounded by like papers and blueprints and all that stuff. And I'm like, for what? And there was no creativity there, but I never had time to self-reflect and be like, wow, being creative makes me really happy. I never had that. It was always being creative. I feel like this isn't the case now, but when I was younger, it was like, oh, that's, you'll never make it. If you want to be like an artist or an actor or something, it's too competitive. You'll never make it. Don't try. And that was so detrimental, I feel like, because I always wonder what could I have done more by this point in my life? And I don't regret it. I know like everything happens for a reason, but I would have been like, don't listen to people like that.
Yeah.
Cause they don't know you. You only know yourself. You know what you're capable of.
Yeah. I really like that advice. Honestly, I feel like, especially with social media now, like people can do, you can do anything. Honestly, yes. A lot of the time, like you can make it happen because you have a platform that you can start. And right. I feel like you're living proof of it. I mean, you enjoy something doing YouTube, doing social media, and look at you now. And it doesn't matter if it's when you're 21 or when you're 38.
Exactly. You know? There's people in their, you know, 60s that are now completely famous and making a ton of money, like selling their own products and stuff.
Yeah.
So, it's wild. Yeah.
Well, I am really excited to see how you do in the New York City Marathon and to follow along the journey.
Yeah.
Are you going to be like filming yourself on the day? Or are you going to have someone like film you, or are you just going to be selfieing throughout the marathon?
I think all of the above.
Okay.
So I actually just bought the GoPro 10.
Okay. Okay.
So I have the 9 and it's like on its last legs. It's like dented or like, you know, scuffed up and it doesn't stay on all the time and all that. So I got the 10. I'm showing Dan, like, this is how you get footage. Make sure you film the crowd, you know, like all this stuff. This is B-roll. Okay. and then I'm obviously going to have my phone, maybe also the GoPro. So I want to like put a bunch of footage together, and the instant gratification for everyone will be the TikTok that I'll immediately post.
Yeah.
As soon as I know I'm not dying.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Well, I'm very excited to see that and to follow beyond whatever you do. Where can people follow you? I mean, I feel like most people probably have already seen your TikToks, but where can people check it out?
TikTok is mrs.space.cadet. And on Instagram, it's I'm Mrs. Space Cadet. Same on Twitter. I just got back into Twitter.
Okay.
Just a platform. Kind of a scary place.
Yeah, it's hard to navigate, we'll say.
And also YouTube, Mrs. Space Cadet.
And then where can people donate to?
Yeah, the donation link is wegiveafox.com. And it's also in my bios, like in my socials.
Yeah. And it'll be in the description box of this podcast. So everyone, go donate, go follow Erin. She's a great follow on all platforms, I will say.
Thank you so much.
To close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Commas Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. It was really fun talking to Erin and having like a full-on conversation with her because I've been following her on TikTok for a while and she's honestly hilarious. If you don't follow her, highly recommend because she literally makes me laugh every time I go on TikTok. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Commas Over Cold Brew Pod to be up to date on the latest episode and submit listener questions. And don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. It really helps me out so people like Erin see that you guys love the podcast and want to come on and chat. Thanks so much for listening, and I will hear from you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.